In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our valley.
Well, today we have that familiar story of the vertically challenged Zacchaeus climbing the tree in order to see Christ. It's a story that most of us probably know from our childhood, assuming we grew up in the church. Many of us probably learned it on a little felt board with pieces stuck to it of Zacchaeus moving up the tree, then coming down, and Christ going to his house. But so anyway, it's interesting. You know, I've heard the story my whole life. I've read many of the commentaries on it, but it wasn't until I stumbled across a sermon by our very own St. John Maximovich, St. John of Shanghai and San Francisco, who was the bishop of the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia for many years, just right by nearby here in San Francisco. I heard a sermon of his concerning this Sunday, and this is what he had to say about Zacchaeus. Because, well, I should say this before I read it. I've just always assumed that he was kind of excited like everybody else was excited. That, you know, that the Messiah is coming, there's all this kind of hype around Jesus, and so that he's going to see him because he's excited and wants to see him. But this is what St. John had to say. He said, "How will Zacchaeus react to this? For him personally, the coming of the Messiah is a catastrophe. The rule of Rome must come to an end, and the triumphant Israel will, of course, take revenge for the losses suffered because of him, because of Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, for the offenses and oppressions that were his fault. But even if this is not so, for the Messiah, as the prophet witnessed, comes as a righteous one, bringing salvation as a meek one. The triumph of the Messiah must bring to him, to Zacchaeus, only the greatest shame and loss of all the wealth and of the position he had acquired at the frightening price of his treachery before God, his own people, and all the hopes of Israel." So what St. John was talking about is the fact that Zacchaeus wasn't just like an IRS agent. He wasn't, you know, just someone who collects taxes. Blessed Theophylact has this great quote about the tax collector. He said, "For the publicans, or tax collectors, received their living from none other than the tears of the poor." They were hated by their people. They were absolutely hated because, first of all, they worked for the Roman government. So they worked for the empire that had conquered the nation of Israel and had taken over and imposed these taxes and done these things so that they don't have self-rule anymore. So that's first and foremost, they do that. But secondly, the way they got their pay from the Roman government wasn't enough. They would charge higher taxes than they were supposed to and skim off the tax and become rich. And we know this of Zacchaeus. It mentioned that he was a wealthy man, that he had obviously done a lot of this. And the fact that he was a chief tax collector meant that he probably was very good at collecting the taxes that the Roman government asked him to collect, and thus was able to skim even more off of the top of that. And so tax collectors at this time were just absolutely hated. It's interesting, Christ, when he's rebuking the teachers of the law at one point in time, he says, "Tax collectors and prostitutes will go into the kingdom of heaven before you." That's amazing. He basically puts them at the top of the list of those who are hated. Those same Pharisees who would end up resenting Christ and hating him hated Zacchaeus just as much because of what he did. And so it's interesting because I've always assumed that his motivation was to see this Messiah, to see this Christ about whom all this excitement was. But St. John Maximovich, suggests that maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was with a little bit of a hope that this wouldn't actually be the Messiah, that his, in a sense, reign of terror, of stealing from the people, wouldn't come to an end. And so he runs to see him. But he also then says that there also was something welling deep within him that he might not have even recognized at the time when he was going to see him, that there was a hope, that there was an empty spot in his life that can only be filled by being united to our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And that even if the motivation for initially wanting to see him wasn't pure, it was that motivation that caused him to climb the tree. Because as it said, he was short, so he couldn't see over people. And so he went and he climbed a tree. Well, that's something to us, we're like, okay, no big deal. Father John Christensen climbs trees every single day of his life. But to them, at that point in time, in that culture, grown men didn't climb trees. They didn't even run. Once you're a grown man, you're supposed to act with dignity in a way that unfortunately we've lost way too much of in this society. And there's kind of a middle ground here. But so, in a sense, by climbing that tree, he was humbling himself. He was doing something that wasn't befitting for a man of his stature. Not respected among his own people, but certainly respected among the Romans who employed him, for whom he did such a good job. And so he climbed the tree so that he could see Christ. And then, of course, we have that famous rest of the story where Christ calls him down and Christ basically invites himself, hey, I'm coming over to your house. And that the people around him are all shocked that he would want to dine with this sinner. And he says he comes to save the lost, that is who he's here for. So Zacchaeus, because of his height, could not see Christ. He didn't even realize that he was seeking for Christ because of all of the things that were in his way. And the main thing that was in his way was not the height of the people, but the way in which he got his money. Blessed Theophylact, when talking about Zacchaeus, compares that crowd to the sins, to the wickedness in his life that kept him from seeing God in the first place. Because he was a Jewish man, and so like all of the Jewish people of that time, he had the opportunity to know God through the synagogue and through the temple. But he didn't because of his greed. And so like Zacchaeus, my question today for myself and for all of us is, what is the crowd in our life? What are the things that keep us from seeing Christ, from seeking after Christ? For some, it's just simply the cares of this life. It's simply just having to do the day-to-day things that turn us away from Christ and make us forget the joy and the hope that we can only have through him, whether it's stress at work or stress with the family or whatever. Sometimes it's those things that draw us away from Christ. Sometimes it's our passions. It's our pride. It's our lust, our anger. All of those things in which we seek not to serve our God, but we serve our own ego. And sometimes it's those things that keep us from Christ. But here's the amazing thing, here's the beautiful thing, here's the good news that is the gospel, is that Christ came to seek and save the lost. And so that we always have the opportunity to turn back to him. Each day, every new day is the day of salvation. We should rise and say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And seek to start the day with prayers and start the day turning towards Christ, recognizing that throughout the day, a crowd will gather. Whether it's things that are stressful or whether it's our own passions, a crowd will gather that may distract us from him, but that he always wants us to seek to climb that tree so that we can see him and that we can thus invite him into our own houses and into our lives and into our hearts for our salvation and the salvation of those around us, to the glory of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.